I will love praise him. Yes, I love praise him. Love him in the morning. Love him in the noontime. Praise him. I will praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. And I will praise him. Back.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing page 116 in the Only Belief, the lifeboat. Amen. Hope everybody had a good day.
Amen.
Amen.
If not, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
You're back in the house to go. Floating down the streams of time, we have not long to stay. Stormy clouds of darkness have turned to brightest day. Is coming to gather the jewels home.
Then cheer, my brother, cheer.
Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon. You gonna be able to find that back there? I hate to sing a solo. Yeah, 116. They only believe. It's a long song. Sing solo.
Yeah, help me out.
There it is.
There it is.
Verse 2. Sometimes the devil tempts me.
Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all. In vain to try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we hear the Master say, lend you a helping hand.
coming. My eyes of faith I see. As she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends we love so dear. Get ready, cries the captain. Oh, look, she's all.
To say something since I got a mic.
Amen.
This is something I don't do all the time, but I just saw an opening, so I took it.
Amen.
I just want to do this every now and then, you know, just to, I don't know, give God something extra. You know, I want to do my part at the beginning of the service.
Amen.
To get my blessing
always.
when the speaker comes, you know. Amen. And so this song, it has some special meaning. You know, we're all jewels here. I'm gathering in the house one more time. And I'm seeing jewels right in here.
Amen.
You know, I don't care what you do in the flesh. You know, that's, I don't want to know anyone after the flesh, actually. But it's I'm looking at God. I'm looking at deity. You know, that's what I treasure. And that's the jewels that this song talks about.
That's right.
You know, and until we get to that other shore, I just want to come running in here just to hear God, just to see God one more time. You know, and I count this as a blessing. This is my joy. I mean, I live to come and worship God.
Amen.
And hear the word.
That's
if I don't do anything else, you know.
Right.
Sometimes I get comfortable playing the horn, you know, and I'll just
God won't let us get comfortable.
No, he won't. And so you know, and I'm just looking for little things that I can do.
Right.
You know, just you
just
know,
give just it over to God.
Myself, you know,
Amen.
Give it back to Him. And then so
Let
I
God
saw this
have
opportunity,
it.
And I said, you know what? It's
Thank
my
you, Lord.
Turn. So here I am. This
Amen.
Isn't the last that you'll see me up here. Yes. I want to do my part. It's in my heart to
Amen.
Do this.
Yes.
And I'm going to say this
Get
for
involved.
You brothers that's never done this. It's a different perspective up here, but I believe you're going to enjoy your blessing. You just come up here and give it a shot.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Ted.
Brother Ted.
I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
I really am. And I do want on my part, too. I don't want to slouch my duties at all.
Right.
And I'm just glad I know who I know and what
oh,
I know.
Oh, yes.
I'm glad I know who I am.
Yes.
I buried my mom today. And it's, you go up there and you just know they are hoping and praying and pushing and everything. They have no peace in one sense. It's a facade, just being honest.
Right.
And
to hope
it's,
so. Right.
It's a show. They don't mm-hmm. know God. Mm-hmm. They're always, and you go through the rituals.
Yeah.
It's boring as can be.
Amen.
To say the least.
Amen.
But anyway, and see, they believe in a whole lot of prayer, yeah. but they don't know who to pray. They don't
no.
know who to pray to.
Yeah. No.
They're just praying. To that's Amen. A fictitious person. They have no idea
right,
who this
right.
is praying for. Him. And I'm just glad I know who I am.
Amen.
And I'm glad.
Amen, bro.
I got all my family, every one of them. And it's kind of funny. You look at it and they all look at me like I'm a crazy person. But I'm the only sane one in the bunch.
Right?
Amen.
I really
Amen.
Am. I'm the only sane one in a bunch. They were doing scriptures and all that, and I'm saying, I know that one. You're talking about me.
Right. Amen.
You're talking about
That's
what I'm doing. And it's
right.
like, okay.
Right.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I know who I am.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because Word it makes a world flesh. Of difference.
It does.
I go through so many trials and so many things,
right.
but I make it through.
Right. Amen. Right.
Because I know
You're
who I am.
Overcomer.
Right.
Amen. I'm an overcomer.
Right.
Amen.
They go through trials and troubles, and they don't.
Oh, throws them.
They fall apart.
Right.
God knows Amen. All of things I went through.
Right.
I'm still here.
Amen. That's right.
Despite mm-hmm. everything I've been through, I'm
right.
still here.
Amen.
That's what counts.
Huge.
Right.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Many people go through trials. Mm-hmm. And they go out the door. Don't come back.
Yeah. Right.
But only the elect.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
They'll be here.
Endure to
right.
the end.
Amen. Endure to the end.
Right.
And I'm enduring to the end.
Amen.
I can
right.
outlast
yes,
all
yes.
this.
Right.
I can outlast everything I go through. I can outlast.
That's right.
Because I knew who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna let anything change.
That's right.
That
right.
perspective
right.
of it
right.
is because I knew who I am, and I just thank God for that. And it's a blessing because through the worst trials you go through, you've got hope.
That's right.
You
Amen.
Really do. Mm-hmm. And in one sense, it don't really matter because it's all going to be for the burning anyway.
That's right.
Everything I go through is fire for the burning. It's going
right.
to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I too, what is it? Say? It says, I'll outlast that.
Right.
That's
the best thing to say. I'll outlast that.
That's right.
And it, doesn't matter
Amen.
What we go through, what I go through, God will get the glory from
That's
me.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
He really will.
Amen.
All the things I've gone through, everything I do,
Amen.
The end result is,
you, Lord.
It'll be all taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
I will
Amen.
Take care of everything.
Amen.
I thank
Amen.
God for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here tonight.
Amen.
Y'all might be seated. Y'all don't stand up all night. Y'all can stand up if you want. Good to be in the house of the Lord. It's we're moving into a busy weekend. Got a lot coming up. So
that's right.
I got a song. Me and Clarice is going to do a song here tonight. It's good to know who we are. It's good to know what life was before Christ and what life is after Christ. And I'd much rather have life after Christ because before, I didn't have any direction, any hope, didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. But since he's come into my life, it's made all the difference in the world. It's made life worth living. And I don't walk around here down and out and sad and tore up. He's given me every day that he gives me. It's a good day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before I met Jesus, my life was so empty and vain. And nothing ahead could see but heartache and pain. But then at the altar, one night I knelt, I found assurance that never has left, and Jesus was right for what was wrong in my life. Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Just give him a chance. Jesus will prove that all he's promised, he made is true. For Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in your life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word. Just open your Bible and read till it's God's voice you've heard. Then at an altar, yes, in repentance you kneel, you'll find assurance you'll know is real. For Jesus is right, forever is wrong in your life. Jesus is right, whatever is wrong in your life. Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in your life. Just give him a chance, and Jesus will prove that every promise he made is true. For Jesus is right, forever is wrong in your life. Jesus is right, forever is wrong in your life. Jesus is right, forever is wrong in your life. Just give him a chance, Jesus will prove every promise he made is true. For Jesus is right, forever is wrong in your life, your life. Amen.
Amen. thank you for that selection, Brother Moore. Okay. You know, my heart is heavy. I've got a bit of news. I know you all know many moons ago when I was a mom and young mom, I did home daycare. I used to bring a young baby here. I was his first day and only daycare provider, Seth. My heart is heavy. His mom sent me a message. I was like, okay. And she said that he committed suicide. Broke my heart. At first I was like, is this a joke? You know, you get all kind of things through Messenger. And I was like, well, surely nobody would send me something about like that. So it broke my heart. I got it verified today. And it just like, he's like the boy. I never had a son. He was that four. I was okay. Took care of him for 7 years. It wasn't me. It was Serenity. So remember, there his mom. Her name is Julie Sullivan. There was a prayer request. Also, Denise said that there were her sons. I guess it's her mother-in-law. Has four-stage cancer, stage four cancer. That would be your oldest son's mother-in-law. So just remember her in prayer. Remember the Seth's family. You know, just breaks your heart. I was like, well, what's going on? You know, but God knows that song. Amen. God, whatever's wrong in your life, you know, God is the answer. He's answers questions. He's got our lives in his hands. You know, I thank God that he knew me. Yeah. You know I'm taking him with me. You know, I don't know what was going on in his life. I don't know. We lost contact. We just were messenger, you know, through his mom and I were still friends. But God knows. But on a happier note, you know, I just thank God for this. You come in here and you can breathe.
That's
you
right.
Go out there. You got to deal with this or the other. Right. But here is a safe place. And I thank God for it. Amen.
You know, we know God is a healer. Brother Branham said in the token, he said that people think it has to be a supernatural faith. Brother Branham said, just simple faith. Simple faith. Same thing. Repent and be baptized. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. It's a promise. And Brother Ted, you were talking about the Catholic Church. The Bible says not to pray with vain repetitions. You know, we have truth here. And you know, God can answer everything. And yes, this day and age, there are spirits out there. And you know, they cause things like people to kill themselves. But we know that God still has it.
Yes.
You know, as a Catholic, you're taught that if someone kills themselves, it's hell. You know, one time they couldn't be buried in a cemetery with other Catholics. But we know God can do all things.
Amen.
You know, he can save that soul.
Amen.
You know, Seth loved the right thing.
Right.
And the right thing loves Seth. You know, that's a battle in all of our lives. Everybody has something, you know. But God can do everything, and God does do everything. He is a healer. He is the one that comforts. He's the one that stands by our side. You know, I just worship him with all that's in me. You know, this week I've had a lot of downtime, a lot of alone time, just thinking on the goodness of Jesus. You know, I was thinking, you know, Brother Moore says all the time, you know, a single man can give more to God. And it's true. Because, you know, your mind stays on God. There's nothing to pull you away. There's nothing to distract you. But no matter what, you know, like that song says that, you know, the fare was paid. Jesus did it all. You know, and we get so worked up and trying. And, you know, I laugh at Christians because they'll say Jesus did it all. And now the next breath, they'll say, now you got to do this, you got to do this, and you got to do this. And if you do this, you're going to hell. Jesus paid it all. And there's nothing I can do. Nothing. The only thing I can do is when the word is preached, say amen, walk in all the light he gives me, and if I'm a 20-watt light bulb, shine as bright as I can, because in that cave, I will show you the way out.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, yes. This thing, it is well with my soul.
Hey, Brother Duskins,
yes.
You know, when I was sitting this week, it really stood out to me. Like what Brother John was saying, you know, for years,
You know, maybe it doesn't mean that much to you, but, well, you know, this is my journey. Amen. I know what it's like to be in a denominational church and to be condemned all the time.
That's right.
And to try to work, and come to find out all these years, he was never dependent on me. Right. He said, I know you can't do it. I know, and you're not going to get it today, tomorrow, or in 100 years. You're never going to be able to do this. No, and what did he do? He said, let me go ahead and take care of that for you.
Right.
And he paid the price. Amen. Totally. Right. And so if it's okay, Brother Duskins, I have a little song that's been rolling on my heart. And I want to ask if you will let me ask my husband to come back to the piano. And we would like... Huh?
Can't talk down?
No.
You better go there.
Well, because it's a simple little song.
Amen.
That has a lot of truth.
Sure.
You know, when you sing a song, it should mean something.
Yes, it should.
When you pray, it should mean something. Like somebody said tonight, no more vain repetitions. You know, we'll say, well, I know I did. I've done this. I'm gonna talk about me. So, oh Lord, do this, that, and other. And then as soon as you say it, you forgot about it. God, no. If you don't expect God to do nothing, don't ask him in the first place. Right. Poor Jesus. Lord help me. I treat him so bad. But you know what? Every day is a new day. I do love you, Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to just go ahead and just give to what is in my heart. So
that's right. Amen.
You know that song we sang in the house?
He was never looking at me.
That's right.
He did it all. Amen. That's it. Just a little simple song. Amen. Oh yes.
He wasn't looking at me.
He wasn't looking at me.
When he took me in.
When he took me in.
He wasn't looking at my heart.
He wasn't looking at my heart.
That was blackened with sin.
That was blackened by sin.
But he was looking at the blood. Flowing rich and free. That precious blood.
He wasn't looking at me
when he took me in.
When he took me in,
he wasn't looking at my heart.
Wasn't looking at my heart.
That was blackened with sin.
Blackened by sin.
He was looking at his blood, flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covered me. At me.
He wasn't looking at me.
When he took me in.
When he took me in. He wasn't
looking at my heart.
Not looking at my heart.
That was blackened with sin.
Blackened by sin.
He was looking at his blood.
Amen.
Flowing rich and free. That precious love that covered me.
That covered me. You know, I like old songs. Those old songs, they mean something. You know, they have a revelation and anointing on them that is, it's still there 200 years later after they wrote the song. Like, okay, I'm really getting it. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did, I'll never make it. Back up. Go down lower. Give me some more. You know, it's terrible when you get old. You know, it's a proof. Okay, I ain't gonna waste no time. I'm a praise man. Give me a key. That's too low. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred end for such a worm as I? Oh, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. It's all that I can do. It's at the cross.
At the cross, where I first saw the light. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together. Thank you for letting us believers be able to gather in this insane world in a safe place where we can just take a deep breath. The song says, they don't know where I go when I fall down, where I can lay down my burdens, lay down my sword, lay down my shield, and just rest a little while. Lord, let the service be blessing to the hearer and the speaker. Help us move away any kind of distractions, Lord. Lord, remember the prayer requests that were spoken. Lord, touch that family. Little Seth, he's... Lord, just bless the family as they go through it. Even in the Bible says Jesus wept. We're human, Lord. We have a love for humanity. Lord, bless the parents as they pray for their children. Lord, bless Sister Anna. Bless Kara with the baby. Bless those that are traveling. Yes. Lord, bless this upcoming trip. Continue to keep the ministry in your prayer. And Lord, just bless the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. It's good to be amongst believers. Not a lot of people can say that they're amongst believers. You know, where it was a time period where it was, I may mess up the name, but it was Brother Reggie Byers. He used to come to the church, and he would say, ex-Baptist, ex-Baptist, the whole time he was alive. And when he died, you know, the church came and got him back. They wanted to collect his bones, basically. And, you know, it was a time period where you think, oh, well, he didn't go to that church. Why are they wanting him now? And it was, you know, Brother Chose basically said, just let the dead bury the dead. You know, don't worry too much about what the dead body's doing. Remember the live body. We get him while he's alive. Give those flowers while he's alive. So, you know, obviously we go through different things, but they should just be a reminder that life is short. No matter how long you get it, you can have 100 years, 80 years, 50 years, and when you go, people are going to miss you. They're going to wish you were still here, and, you know, that's just the nature of it. You know, every time I go through different things, just speaking on a personal level, we deal with funerals and things like that. It's always a reminder that I don't want to let a moment. I don't want to be thinking, oh, I wish I would have. I wish I could have. Because you have the opportunity. You know, you always say, you do what you think is most important. You'll do what you want to do. And so, you know, take that opportunity to serve God in your youth. You know, because that always comes right back around to that. This is the most important thing. There's no job, there's no schedule, there's no nothing that's more important than this. You know, this is a great opportunity to come here and serve God. So I always recommend people do that. So get it while you can. Now let's get into this. You know, I'm excited about the upcoming stuff that's going on because it just shows God's moving. You know, we got, you know, by way of announcements, like we want to say is, you know, this is Pastor Moore's last service before he goes. Well, no, we got Sunday. Yeah, you're gonna be here at Easter. You're gonna be here. Okay, I didn't know Saturday and Sunday. I know you got to go to the Philippines on Monday. So if we walk through Pastor Moore's schedule, it's our schedule basically. We're living vicariously through him, but he's got Thursday. We get Brother Tony from a church on Thursday night, and then Friday, Brother Tony gonna take him out to eat. Saturday we got service. Brother Tony Girobiso will be here preaching. Saturday night, then Sunday morning we're having him preach as well, and then we're going to have food after the service, and then Monday morning, him and Brother Doug are going to be going to the Philippines, and God bless them. We got people that are traveling that are going to be, they're trying to get back in time to be here. You know, even Brother Jeremiah, he was, you know, his travel schedule is really tight, so it's a lot going on in the next few days. So just keep the body in your prayer as we go through that. But this is, you know, Pastor Moore preached What Was Calvary For Sunday, and that was his Easter message. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing to hear about Calvary. And, you know, it was just interesting to understand that in the holiest of city, with the holiest of people, with the holiest of persons, they crucified the holiest person. And it just shows that these church people are terrible. They're just terrible. I don't have any. The more I go in there, and I'm not a, I wasn't a studier, but now the more I'm reading about it, I'm like, my goodness, you just vipers. Amen. Just vipers. And you know what? And even that term, that snakes and vipers, he was, you know, I want to say John used that term, if I'm not mistaken, but he was out there. And that was the lowest thing, slithering around, being deceitful, and trying to bite you right when you turn your back. And that's just the church world. But thank God there's a group of people that knows what it is, you know, that truly understand that Jesus did pay it all. That's when you talk about Calvary, it's talking about Jesus paying it all. Amen. Now, Jesus didn't just, you know, Jesus didn't just pay for your present sins. He didn't pay for the past sins only. He paid for your past, present, and future sins. That's all. That's ALL. That's everything. He paid it all. You know, it's nothing worse than going somewhere and the bill's already paid and somebody keep asking to look at the bill. Sit down. It's already taken care of. You couldn't afford it if I handed it to you. You know, you'd be silly. We would go out to eat with Brother Childers and he'd stand in the back of the line and let everybody go through. You know how dumb you'd look to be like, well, hey, Brother Childers, I want to
I'm going to throw a little something on it. No, I didn't ask you to throw a little something on it. I don't need you to throw a little something on it. Go in there, sit down and eat and enjoy yourself. You're worrying about things that don't pertain to you. You know, the church world has, they got all these things that they put out there. They've made up what sins are. They've made up what unbelief looks like. They've made up characteristics. They've made up traditions. They've made up prayers. They've made up ways so that way they can do something that they can say that they paid for. You didn't pay for anything. There was nobody found worthy in the book to be able to open this thing. When John looked all the way back, he wept because nobody was worthy to pay this cost. Nobody was worthy. Adam wasn't worthy. Eve wasn't worthy. Moses wasn't worthy. John wasn't worthy. Elijah wasn't worthy. Branham wasn't worthy. Nobody in walking was worthy to pay the price. You needed somebody to come down that would pay it all. Otherwise, your sins just got pushed forward until somebody was worthy to pay for it.
Amen.
But thank God that somebody was worthy to pay it all, and we understand it and we recognize it. Oh, my. You know, and I'm going to read a scripture over here, and I'm going to go to it here. Let me find my little thing here and pull this up. We're going to go to John chapter 2, verse 3. 13, I'm sorry. John chapter 2, verse 13. We'll read a little bit. And it says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand." We're at Passover time now. "And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in a temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting." They had just turned it into a mall. They turned the church into a mall. And that's what it is now. You go into a church now, you got a Starbucks. You got a bookstore, you got Pittons, it's a mall. You go into a mega church now, it's a mall. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. "And when he had made a scourge of small cords," so he basically created a whip, "he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables." Jesus was a little bit upset that they had went in there. "And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence." This is what I love about this. "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise."
Right.
Not my Father's house. He was telling them who his daddy was.
Right.
"Don't make my daddy's house a mall. Don't make this a merchant." That's what got him upset. "What do you mean your Father's house?" And his disciples, he said, "Take these things hence and make not my Father's house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "In the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" What are you saying that this is your Father's house? How can you show us a sign that you got this taken care of? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. See, carnal, still not listening. "And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said."
Amen.
When they saw that, when Jesus did rise again, after 3 days, they remembered that he had told them that. And it turned them on. That became the good news.
Amen.
That became the gospel of the good news. It was that Jesus died, buried, and resurrected.
Right.
The church world just wants died and buried. I want to talk about resurrected. What happened? What's the power of resurrection?
Yeah.
You needed something to get up. That bride is following the same pattern that Jesus did. The church world tried to tear it down.
Right.
They tried to destroy this temple, and it rose back up again.
Yeah.
We are living the same life that Christ did. That same life that was in him is in the bride. You can try to destroy this temple, but you do the best you can, and it will raise up again.
Yeah.
Oh, my. See, Brother Branham even said it. You know, this is the only religion that our Savior got up again.
That's
Muhammad didn't get up again. Amen. Muhammad didn't get up again. What was it over in the Mormons? You got with Joseph Smith? Joseph Smith didn't get up again. Oh, you talk about Buddha, Gunther, Sartre. He didn't get up again. They don't get up again. Our Savior lives.
Amen.
See, they want somebody that's dead. They want somebody just that they can reference. I want somebody I can touch. I want somebody I can hear. I want to serve a living God. I don't want to serve a dead God. I don't want to serve dry bones. I want to serve the living God. I want a present tense God. This church world doesn't want a present tense God. You got people that don't want God at all. And I always like to say the church world, because the world has already made their calling and election sure. They don't want God, and they're clear as day about it. But the church world lies in wait to deceive, to destruct, to try to tear down. They want to destroy God's temple. It wasn't the worldly people trying to destroy the temple. It wasn't prostitutes in there trying to tear it down. They weren't in there making a merchant of it. It was the church world. It's always been the church world. They just make me so frustrated. They do. I mean, the more I look at it, the more I get frustrated by it. It's just, I just get in my feelings about it. And let me just say it. See, I'm out here now. I'm in the water. The church world will split a church with no regard to any of the things that they tear down. People leave jobs better. You give a 2-week notice at a job. You'll say, oh, I want to make sure that this job gets done when I'm not here. Let me turn this over to this. Let me turn that over to this. Let me make sure this happens there. They don't do that. They'll split up a church, take the piano player, the organ player, the drummer, and then the song leader and say, good luck.
Amen.
They want you to fail. That's what they do. I'm not preaching from somewhere that I ain't seen it. I've seen it for myself. They try to destroy, and then if they can't do that, they see you're still prospering, then they just try to destroy your influence.
Amen.
Then they go, well, we're going to tear down your influence. We want a vote of no confidence in you. We want people to see all the bad things about you. Why don't you just go on and be who you are? Go sit off in the self and do everything that you want to do. Why are you worried about me? I'm just serving God. Let me just enjoy myself. Let me just leave me alone. Why can't I just praise God in peace?
Amen.
But that's not the church world for you. They can't allow you to just serve God in peace. Mm-mm-mm. See, what God said was to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the good news. God's gift of salvation is the gospel. See, I agree that Jesus paid it all, but there's still some things that we can do. You know, I don't believe that we're here not to do anything. That's my message tonight, preaching the good news. Because that's what we're still talking about, the good news. God resurrected. Jesus resurrected from the grave, and we're benefiting from that. That shows his resurrection power. That's our resurrection power. We got to get those dead saints up. We got to call for them to get up. That's our resurrection. The resurrection's on the scene now. You know, but I look at that and I go, you know, that I still think there's work for us to do. You know, you think about it and go, well, what else is there to do? It's just to get this word out. It's to get it out. If it means going to the Philippines, that's what it means. If it means going to South Carolina, that's what it means. If it means going to Dayton, that's what it means. If it means cleaning the church, that's what it means. If it means cutting the grass, that's what it means. I think we get so caught up sometime in looking at somebody else to do something. Just do your little part. That's what it means. I love Brother Warren got up here and sang and said, hey, you brothers should try to do that. Well, you all should be trying to do that. Pastor Moore already said it should be 3 of us up there. We got 10 brothers in the church. We can start a little rotation. But I'm just saying, get in your mindset. You limit your ability to get God's blessings to get you through. You only overcome by the words of your testimony. That's some good news. You should have some good things to go forward. When you go through life struggles and life storms, you got to have something on the inside for God to work with.
Amen.
And if you just sat there like a bump on a log, guess what? When you go through your problems, you're going to sit there like a bump on a log. But if you've had a little bit of push about you, God even said that Sunday, he said it requires a push to even be able to serve God.
Amen.
If you don't have a push, I don't have nothing for you. Oh, I'd be nervous if I was somebody that wasn't a single. You know what? Let me say this. At jobs, there are people that they can't let go because they're what they're called single points of contact. meaning they have so much information that they've not shared with anybody that they can't afford to let that person go. Let's say, that, like an example, they may have all the passwords, and nobody knows all the passwords. So they, before that person leaves, they got to make sure somebody else knows those passwords. You're a single point of contact. And what they tried to do was disperse that in the workforce and make everybody know little parts of it, so that way they can reproduce it. But the more you go up and the more you get entwined in an organization, the more you become a single point of contact, they can't get rid of you. I'd be nervous if things go off without a hitch when you're not around. Amen. If I'm a brother or sister in the church and we're not, and we don't even miss you, I'd be a little nervous if the church cut grass list goes up and nobody wonders where your name is. I'd be a little nervous if the church cleaning list goes up and your name ain't on it and the church still gets clean. I'd be a little nervous. I'd be like, well, I got something to do. I can run the broom. I can sweep the wall. I can wipe some windows. I'd be a little nervous that the church goes on without me. If the service sounds the same when you're not here, I'd be a little nervous. If the song sounds the same when I don't sing it, I'd be a little nervous. Why? There should be a sense of obligation. If God has been this good to you, can't you just say thank you? Can't you just wave your hands and say you've done it all? Can't you just appreciate all the good news that God's given you? My goodness, God is good. He takes care of everything. You talk about just taking care of our sins. He's taking care of our mind. He's taking care of our body. He's taking care of our you've got a right mind because of God. In a neurotic age when everybody's crazy, when everybody's losing it, you've got a right mind. Praise God. That's some good news. I like to share that a little bit. When I go to a funeral, I got the good news. When you send me a message that things are going wrong, I got the good news. When you call me and tell me hell's right on you and Satan's on his back, I got the good news. I can sprinkle a little word on that and take care of it all. Oh, my. Don't limit God just to handling death and burial. Let's talk about him being in flesh. Oh, my. God didn't want to dwell alone. He didn't want to dwell alone. He wanted to fellowship. And he's fellowshipping with himself. Do you know why they wanted to kill Jesus? Let's go over that. Because it's going to make some sense to you. Why what you have is different than what everybody else has. This life that you have, this good news that you have, is different than everybody else's good news. What you have is different. It makes the church world despise you. They haven't changed their colors since the Passover when they killed Jesus. Let's go over here and read. I'm going to read a scripture here. It's in John chapter 19, verse 7. See, when they were going to crucify Jesus, we were talking about Easter. He had to die. He had to be crucified. But when they were going to crucify Jesus, they took Jesus to be judged. Pontius Pilate's there. He's like, okay, this is the time period. We're going to let somebody go. We got Barabbas. We got Jesus. You guys know Barabbas is a terrible guy. Terrible. Nobody likes him. We should kill him now. I've got probable cause. I've got evidence and proof. Barabbas should be done away with. They was like, no. We know about Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Take Jesus. Pilate's confused. You can read over in there. He's confused. He's like, I find no fault in him. He hasn't done anything. What did he do that was so bad? Who did he kill? Who did he rob? Who did he steal from? Who did he hurt? What did he do? Tell you what they said. Over in John chapter 19, the Jews answered him and said, we have a law. Uh-oh. And by our law, he ought to die. Why? Because he made himself the Son of God. And by being the Son of God, he had the power to forgive sin. That turned him upside down. Who is this man making himself equal with God. Only God has the power to forgive sin. And in this age, we sit here now with the power to forgive sin. The church world don't like it. That's why they want to tear us down. That's why they want to destroy us. That's why they want to ruin your influence. They're looking saying, who are you? Born of a woman, making yourself equal with God? Who are you? Pilate even was like, well, that, you know, that's a terrible thing, but I don't think he should die for it. Right. He's just saying something. I mean, who does this really hurt? He hasn't affected anybody. So then they had to get deceitful like church people do. They said, Pilate, when he says he's equal with God, he's saying he's higher than Caesar. See how they tried to spin it a little bit? They spun it a little bit. They're saying he's higher than Caesar. And Pilate, you know nobody can be higher than Caesar. He's saying he's the king. Pilate's like, well, yeah, I guess you got a point there. Nobody can be above Caesar. He said, then they threw that one last knife in there. Pilate, if you don't do this, you're basically saying that he is higher than Caesar. We recognize Caesar as king. See, the church world people, they're willing to trade in everything. They're willing to give away their birthright for a bowl of lentils. We recognize Caesar as our king. Pilate had to do what he had to do. So much so that Brother Branham said it caused Pilate to go crazy. When he did that, he had to wash his hands of it. In the church world, you know what they said? They said, let his blood be on us and our children. Give us Barabbas. That's the church world. That's the Jews. That's the high and mighty. They said, let his blood be on us. Pilate had to wash his hands, and Brother Branham said he went crazy. He just kept washing his hands. Kept washing his hands. He went crazy because he knew he'd done something wrong. This church world, though, they don't care. They don't care. They don't give a tinker for your token. But we got the good news. Amen. We got something on the inside of us. The same life that Christ had on the inside of him, that's what's on us. Because God poured everything that he had into Christ. Amen. And everything that he was in Christ, he poured into the bride. Amen. That resurrection power that Jesus had, we have. Amen. That resurrection authority that he carried with him, we have. You can destroy this, and the incorruptible has put on, my corruptible has put on incorruptible. Amen. Let me read that scripture because I want to say it just how it is, because that is a beautiful scripture. Let me get to this real quick, because when you, what did you say? You got it? You knew it? I know some of the elders, they already know this scripture. They were yelling it out. Let me put this up. Let me pull this up. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 54. Yeah, 53. Here it is. It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is no longer here anymore. Amen. You can destroy this temple if you want to. You can do whatever you want to it. You can destroy my influence. You can destroy that. You can destroy this. But there is something on the inside of me that you can't touch. Amen. There is something on the inside of me that is God's own life. Amen. That's eternal. I got eternal life living in here. Why do I have eternal life living in here? Because I was born of a woman. That I shouldn't have that. But because I was born again, amen. See, that's what changed things. You get born again, it wakes up. It takes on that form, and it just, God's living in this house. Right. Oh, and he's pleased to dwell here. Don't let the church world try to change you and move this and move that. God is pleased to dwell in this tabernacle. He's moving it around, getting it how he wants it. He is the control tower. Amen. See, the church world will have you thinking the control tower's on the outside looking in. That don't work like that. It don't work like that anywhere. You don't have the leader on the outside of the organization. You have him on the inside, with you, in you, taking care of things. Oh, my. How dumb would it be if you had air traffic control at a different airport trying to tell the one airport what to do? You don't know what's going on here. It wouldn't work. You can't see what's going on in here. Don't try to tell me what I need to do. God's working on what I need to do. If I'm short, God's telling me I'm short. If I need to step up, God's telling me I need to step up. And when we go share this good news, I'm not going to convert anybody because God's the converter. I'm going to just share in the knowledge of the mystery of the truth and let us enjoy this thing together. This is like a good meal that I didn't have to cook. I'm just serving it to you. Won't you just eat? Come and eat. Come and sup with me a little bit. Why? Because God has did this. He's the one that prepared this. He's the one that brought me here. I can't be mad about that. It's the same God that brought me, brought you. So just have a seat at the Father's table. Let's enjoy this meal together. Oh, my. The church world has it all wrong. They have it all messed up. They don't want a real God. And the more I look in here, the more I see this, the more I see that, the more I see that the church, well, they just don't have it. They've never been born again. That's why they don't have it. They can't see what you see. Their eyes haven't been open. But our eyes have been open. We see everything different. Every situation, everything we go through in life is different. I'm happy when everybody else is sad. I'm up when everybody else is down. I'm level when everybody else is wishy-washy. I can take rebuke when people can't take rebuke. There's people that can't take rebuke. In this church, there's people that can't take rebuke. I've seen them have to walk out. I'm like, what are you doing? I thought you said you believed. I thought you said it was better than everything. I've seen people get up here and give testimony after testimony. That's the best thing that ever happened to me and walk out the door. Who lied? Who lied? Who changed? Who moved? The same God that was here before you got here is here when you walked out. That same God that's been taking care of me is the same God that'll do it when you walk out. Oh, I look at this and I go, my, I can't even understand it. Because people, that's why I said you overcome by the words of your own testimony. That's what drives them crazy when they walk out. It's because their testimony is damning to themselves. Because they've got to go back and listen to their own testimony about how God got them through this. God got them through that. God got them through this. God got them through that. They'll say, God got me this job. God blessed me with a baby. God blessed me with a spouse. God blessed me with this. God blessed me with that. Until. What happened? Did he stop blessing you? Because it didn't matter about the job for me. It didn't matter about the spouse for me. It didn't matter about the kids for me. I just came here for the word. That's the only thing that'll stay. No matter what. I get a car, it'll wear out. I got a car, it'll wear out in a couple years. You'll never drive a 200-year-old car. How dumb would you be? Be old. Be old. But this word has been good for year after year after year. It gets better every service. Oh, my. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love to hear it. It never gets old. That's the only thing in my life that gets sweeter and sweeter. How can this God have living water? That's what Jesus even said. He said, I'll give you this to drink, and you'll never thirst again. He said, I got living water. Living water. That's what he said he's giving you. Everything about God is living. The water he gives me is living. The Holy Spirit that he gives me is living. His life is living in me. Oh, my God doesn't sit stagnant for nothing. If you find yourself sitting around, you're not moving with God. You got to keep up with God. I love it when Pastor said that you got to have a push. You know, and some people put works on it. It ain't works, but you should have a push. And you tell me this is your place, this is your home, should be a sense of obligation. I'm tell y'all something silly. Just to show you how this is my own example for me. I'm just back in my mail from where I'm at. I don't even cut my own grass. I don't. I have a buddy that cuts my grass, and I love it. I don't want to cut my grass. But guess where I'll be in the summer when the grass needs to get cut here at the church? Right here. This yard is more important than my yard. This grass is more important than my grass. My yard can look messed up. I don't want this looking messed up. There's people that are coming here. I want to put on a good face for them. I want them to see a good presentation. I want them to see how good God's been to me. And if just cutting the grass is my way to do it, then 30 minutes is all it takes. That's a simple thing to do. Well, you make it so hard. You make it all this and all that. I'm not asking you to read 100 message books. I'm not asking you to quote the Bible. I'm not asking you to memorize the scriptures. I'm just saying give your little part. Yeah. Oh, my. It could just be holding the door. See, I don't want to put all these works on there. It could just be as simple as holding the door. It could be as simple as walking Sister King to the car. You see an opportunity. What did Pastor Moore say? Don't act like I'm the only one that ain't ever heard it. He said, if you see it, it's yours. I'm just telling you how we've been raised. Don't forget your raising. Daddy taught you right. If you see an opportunity, take advantage of it and let God bless you for that. Because what you're going to do, I guarantee you, this service is sweeter to Brother Warren than it would have been if he would have played the horn the whole time. He was involved. He's going to learn 3 or more songs than he knew before. He's going to understand how to read the projector more than he knew before. He's going to learn to lead on the leadership more than he did before. He's going to learn how to work in a group more than he did before. He's going to pay attention more than he did before. Why? He just gave a little bit and said, I see a little opening. Let me go ahead and take it. Oh, my. That's all it took. Yeah. Oh, my. It didn't take him. He didn't have to know what key it was. He didn't have to practice beforehand. He didn't have to listen to the songs on the radio beforehand. He didn't have to text Brother Don to get, hey, what's a couple songs that you're going to sing? Hey, Sister Andrea, what key are they going to do it in? Hey, Sister Clarice, can you make sure it's in this? Hey, can you guys make sure it's that? Praveen, can you turn the mic up to here and do that? Just see a little opening. Go on and get in there. Go on and get in there. Amen. And you'll be blessed for it. Amen. We've seen blessing after blessing of people just giving to God and letting him have his way. Amen. Oh, my. I'm not off my topic of the good news. That's still the good news. I'm showing you how to get through this neurotic age. Come in here and let this service be a benefit to you. Don't come in here and waste your time while we're all sitting here celebrating the good news. You got an opportunity to leave here better than you came before. That's even what the song says. He said, Lord, I need you now. I don't want to leave the same. And if you come in here and sit down and you leave the same, that's all your fault. Because everybody else is rejoicing in the good news. You got people around you getting healed. You got people around you getting their mind settled. You got people around you that are getting settled down from going through hardship, going through pain, going through aches, all that stuff, and they're getting healed all around you. And you sitting by the water, well, I don't know if I'll make it if it troubles. I'm just here. Hopefully something happens. Hopefully they just splash a little water my way. That's even what happened to that guy that was by the pool. He was crippled. Couldn't make it to the water if he wanted to. He couldn't get there if he wanted to. Matter of fact, Jesus had to walk through the crowd to get to him. That's how far back in the line he was. And the scripture says the first person. It wasn't the first group. It wasn't for 30 minutes that water was going to be healing. It was the first person that got the water when it troubled. That's who got that healing. He was so far back, Jesus had to walk through the crowd. And said, you know, you wouldn't make it if you wanted to. What if I just said, take up your bed and walk now? Woo! Okay. That's some good news. He left there better than he ever came before. He got some good news. Well, what if he'd have sat there like some Christians do? Well, it's the Sabbath. I don't know if I can do it. They normally say the water has to be here. This has got to be there. It's in all the years that they've done it, it's done it like this. And all the years that I've come here, it's been like that. But you come on a Wednesday night and God just says, take up your bed and walk. Amen. Oh, don't let nothing hinder you. If you got a song, just sing it. If you got a praise, just give it. If you got something to give God, just give it to him. If it's just your hands, give him your hands while you can use them. I've seen people that lose their voice and they say, I wish I would have yelled when I could yell. I've seen people lose their sight and said, I wish I would have looked around when I could see. I've seen people lose the mobility and say, I wish I would have ran when I could have ran. Guess what, little bride? You got the opportunity tonight to just give him your all. Celebrate the good news. You've got something that the church world can't get. See, that's what makes it good news. I can't even share this with everybody. This is something I can only share with believers. Everybody else, I'm saying it and it's going across in unknown tongues, Brother Steve. I'm speaking in tongues tonight. I've been speaking in tongues all service. Church world can't pick it up. It's going across as a thunder. It's going across as a mystery. They're seeing me talk about candlesticks and stars and myth and trumpets. They don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying God is living in you.
Amen.
He wanted to dwell in you. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, we're speaking in tongues tonight. Let me read a quote. I'm excited about what God has done for us. Let me see this here. This is over in Easter Seal, 1965. Brother Branham says, as in Pentecostal people of today, let me say this, that we're standing in this last days where God promised he'd pour out his spirit upon all flesh and his sons and daughters should prophesy. What does it say over in the book of Revelations? My mom was talking about that. She said, you got to take that little book and eat it. You keep reading on down. It says, now you go prophesy again. I'm going to tell you, you're going to prophesy again. You don't got to make up a new prophecy. You prophesy again.
Right.
Oh, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Brother Redham said, it's the hour. That's what makes that creation in you.
Amen.
Oh, it's in you now.
Amen.
It's in you. That creation power is in you. He said, we can speak worlds into existence and step out on it.
Amen.
You can change atmospheres. You can change. You got the power to do whatever you want now. The Bible says whatever you bind, he'll bind. Whatever you loose, you'll loose. And yet you'll sit there like a bump on a log and let evil spirit after evil spirit come and bombard you. Brother Branham even said they can fly over, but don't let them make a nest. Don't let them make a nest. Go ahead and say, get off of me. No good trick, Satan. That's what my mom said. No good trick. I'm not letting you make a nest here. You got to get off. I know too much. I see too much. Oh, too much has been revealed. And even if you want to talk about for the work's sake, even if you can't see the miracles that's happened in your own life because you're so blinded, you know what sometimes happens? When you're going through a trial, you forget. It's too close to you. You're going through a trial, you forget all the blessings that God ever gave you. You could be sitting in a new car, in a new garage of your new house, crying about some messed up check from your new job.
Right.
Lord, you ain't never helped me. Why you bring me out here to die? Why you forsake me? Because you forget. Start looking around then. If you can't, just read some other books then. Get some other testimonies that helps build you up a little bit. Look over there, Brother Isaiah, and say, look what God did for him. If he could do it for him, he's got to do it for me. Look at what he did for Brother John. If he did it for him, he's got to do it for me. That's even how that song said. He said, his eye's on the sparrow. So I know he's watching over me. That's what happened. You're going through something. You look around and say, if he's looking out for the flowers, if he's looking out for the lilies, if he's making sure they're getting fed and watered, what more will he do for me? That's some good news. Oh, my. I'm showing you how to overcome. I'm showing you how to get through this age. That's what they gave them. They said, go share the good news to every creature, to every man. This is the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news that we got to share, that he's alive. See, church world doesn't want him alive, but I do. All right, one last scripture. Praise God. This is over in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And this is God talking about Abraham, but it applies to us. You'll see. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. See, I love that. God slid that in there for us.
Amen.
It wasn't just the Abraham. It wasn't for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed.
Yes.
If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, raise him up from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Amen.
We believe on that same God.
Yes.
It's for us.
Amen.
It's counted as righteousness for us because we stagger not at the promises of God.
That's right.
I believe that God is able to do everything that he promised.
Yes.
I'm holding God to everything that he promised.
Yes.
He said he would do it. Matter of fact, when something is going crazy, I say, Lord, you said. You said. Lord, you said. Your word says you're a healer, so heal me. Your word says you're a deliverer, so deliver me. Oh, my, my, my. This is on the front page of that good news. I saw a show and they said it's on the front page right above the fold. So when the newspapers get delivered, they would fold them. Yeah, you can't miss it. If it's right above the fold, that means you can't miss it no matter what. You'll see it. This is on the front page. It says he's a healer. It says he's a deliverer. It says he's going to take care of me. That's the good news. He said, all that the Father hath given me will come, and I will in no wise cast out. Oh, the church world tries to get me cast out left and right. They're trying to act like they got the keys to the kingdom. But when Christ died, his crucifixion opened up the door for him to get to hell. So he could take care of the past. He took care of those Old Testament saints when he went down there and got them out of there. And he sealed it up so I'd never have to go. Oh, he took care of that. But praise God, he didn't stop there. Praise God, he didn't just stop at the Old Testament saints. He had a message for me. Oh, my, my, my. He said, it's not good that I should dwell alone. He said, I want a bride. Oh, and he said, I want a bride that even in the last days when it gets neurotic, when it gets crazy, when people are killing people, when people are killing themselves, when the world is going crazy and it's in total darkness, that if it were possible, it would deceive the elect. But it's not possible. You've got the good news. Oh, my, my, my. God has blessed us beyond with this news. So when we're looking at Easter, we don't look at Easter like the rest of the world does. Oh, the rest of the world looks at Easter and they get somber and they get sad and they stay there. Mark their faces, give up penance. Then they make up things that they want to still sacrifice because they're still pushing sins forward. It's such a crazy thing. Makes you want to go through the temple with a whip. They make up what they want to give up. I got people that I work with and they're like, well, I'm giving up this for that. I'm like, you didn't do that anyway. Yeah, but after the Passover, I'll back on it. That's not a sacrifice. They're just making up sacrifices. They get to pick them. They pick them. Nobody gets to hold them to it at all. They can say, I don't want to eat chicken, and that they can just keep it to themselves. And then they can eat chicken, and you go, I thought you gave, no, I gave up fish. Oh, okay. I mean, there's no accountability. You got a sacrifice that's not even really a sacrifice. That just shows they're playing games. Amen. You're lying to God. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira, you chose to lie to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You made these rules up, and somebody's going to be held accountable for that. Because there's people that are sincerely just wrong.
Amen.
And there's some people that are just wrong.
Amen.
And those priests, Pope, he's going to have to answer for that. You know too much to be doing that foolishness, leading these people astray. But the Catholic Church got a lot of blood on their hands.
Amen.
That mother whore, sort of says over in the book of Revelations, got a lot of blood on her hand. She's drinking the blood of the saints through a golden goblet, drunk with it. Praise God, we know what it is. Praise God, we're not deceived by their traditions. Praise God, we're not deceived by their neuroticness. We're not deceived by any of it. We pick up the word of God, and that's all we come here for. I love how even Brother Warren said, he said, I don't want to know nobody after the flesh. Your flesh won't, I can't count on your flesh no matter what. You could be as good as you want to be, and you're going to still need a shower tomorrow. Read the Bible and pray all day, and you're going to still need a shower. That means the best you're going to do is going to be filthy rags. The best you can offer is filthy rags. Keep the law. Keep it all. There's people that can't keep the law. The Brother Branham said there's some, the Muslims or the monks over there, they keep the law. They put you to shame with what they can do. But that's not what it's about. What do you do when the word crosses your path? That's what I attest it by. That's the word test. And matter of fact, I'm not even keeping score. I don't care what you do. I know when the word crossed my path, I know what I'm going to do with it. I know I'm going to just simply say yay and amen, and that's all I can do. It comes out with every heartbeat. I don't even have to work it up. That's what lets me know that it's God on the inside of there. It's not some knowledge base. It's not some intellectual. I don't have to study something. It's just with every heartbeat, yay and amen. the word of God comes across my path and I can't help but agree with it. I don't go back through and check the scriptures to see, oh, maybe he mispronounced the word and that didn't mean what he thought it meant. No, you say it wrong, it's fine. God will correct it. He'll fix it. If I quote it 2 John instead of John chapter 2, so what? Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Get to the intent.
Amen.
Get to the intent. Won't you get a revelation? Won't you get an understanding and you'll understand what I'm trying to say here? I've seen preachers, he said, even in the Bible, said it confound them by the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
That's what confounds them. They want somebody to sit back here, monotone, homiletics, maybe have a choir behind me. When I hit a song, I'm singing in the middle of the service. Let them just be filled with the Spirit. Maybe let the choir sing two or three good songs while I'm here, just basking in the Spirit. Get that organ going. Mm-hmm. Turn down the drums a little bit. Get that organ going. I'm telling you, that's how they do. This is the voice they speak in. And they just wait. Let the choir just soothe you. Soothe you right to sleep. Because the choir ain't preaching. Soothing you right to sleep. You know why they want that? Because they're babies. They want milk. They want soft, soft. They don't want meat. They don't want something they're going to have to chew on. They don't want somebody to get in their mustache and say, hey, bub, you need to step up a little bit. Stop being late. They don't want that. They don't want a God that knows their name. They want to be in a mess. They want to be in a mess where you got God don't even know them. That's what they want. They want just enough songs to just feel good, and they'll leave there with just songs. The preacher will pray, and they'll say, wasn't that a wonderful service? No word. Didn't even hardly open the Bible. They'll reference current events, maybe political stuff. Talk about Israel. Maybe talk about the presidential election. Talk about homosexuality. And that's it. Fooey to all of that. I don't care about politics. This world ain't my home. I don't care who you voted for. Don't matter to me. I don't care about what's happening in Israel, so to speak. I don't care what's happening in Ukraine, so to speak. That's not what's going to get me through. I need the word of God to get through Thursday.
Amen.
How about that? That's what I'm going to need.
Right.
I need the word of God to get these saints up. I don't really care who voted for what. I don't care who did through those things change.
Sure.
They'll change with a moment and twinkle of an eye.
Right.
You could see a news report on the president and change your mind on him the next day.
Right.
You could have voted for him and then the next week you hate him. I've seen it all the time. Every 4 years it happens.
Amen.
They love him, then they hate him, then they love him, then they hate him, then they love him, then they hate him. Happens all the time.
Right. Amen.
I can't lean on that. I can't even lean on my own understanding. It says lean not to your own understanding. I can't even lean to myself because my emotions will get me. I'll get mad and want to hold a grudge. And God say, no, we don't hold grudges here. I'll get mad and want to stick it to somebody and say, no, that's not what we do here. This shall all men know that you love, that you have love for one another. And said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Oh, that's a tough one to swallow. That's tough meat to have to chew on a little bit. Love your enemies. Oh, my. Despitefully use me? Knowing you're doing me wrong. And I got to treat you good. Because I'm the one that knows the good news. That's tough. Chew and swallow, bub. Chew and swallow. You got to eat it. Why? Because we're a bright body. Where there's breath, there's hope.
That's right.
You might not even get it right on this side.
Yes.
You're still my brother.
Yes.
You're still my sister.
That's right.
I'm still going to see you again.
That's right.
Oh, you know, we've got too many examples. Brother Childers did it. Pastor Moore's done it. I'm living through some examples, walking with Pastor Moore, and I'm seeing what he does, and I'm just, okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah, because I'd be like, block the number. Don't even text me. Call me, nothing. Just don't even ever. Right? Unfollow, whatever you got to do. But I don't want any part of it. But I'm learning. Patience. You learn about the things you suffer. But I thank God for character. Because that maturity, that's maturity too. You know, kids whine and complain. When you grow up a little bit, you've been through some things, you go, yeah, this too shall pass. See, I got too many scriptures now. I done been through the fire a little bit too long now. He can't. I done fellowship with the Son of Man now. I done seen him. You know what? That's what I even love about that story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, the church world will try to tell the story that they just knew God was going to take care of them. That's not how the story went. They said, even if you throw us in the fire and we die. They said they didn't speak to him calmly. They boldly told him, you throw me in the fire and if I die, my God is still real. He's able. If he burns this body, destroys this temple, do the best you can, my God is still able to raise it up. He threw him in the fire, thinking he had done his best. And they started fellowshipping with the Son of Man. Started spreading some more good news. You know they were a problem when they got out of that fire. They were worse than they were before. Oh, you thought I was bad before I got to church tonight. I've been fellowshipping with the Son of Man now. Oh, it don't matter. Do your best. Say what you want. Do how you can. Throw me in the fire now. I'm worse than I was before I got here. We've been fellowshipping with the Son of Man tonight, sharing that good news. If you missed it, you missed it. I'm sorry. But I praise God that I had an opportunity to come to this service tonight. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank God for the good news. I love that, Brother Jay, because sometimes people forget. They forget the good news. They forget what the news is. Church people forget what the news is. We think the news is this or that and picking on this or finding out that or dragging you here or doing whatever. The good news has been the same all the way through. And the thing I love about it and that I really thought about tonight is what, Brother, when Jay was preaching, I was thinking, you know, that good news, people don't really know how far that good news went. Right. That it just didn't. The good news is not Jesus come and died, though that was good. Sure. Jesus went to the grave for 3 days. That was good. Jesus resurrected. That was all good news. Amen. But that wasn't the end of the good news. No. We know the rest of the story.
Amen.
And the good news includes the building of the bride body of all ages.
Amen.
And the good news is that he's come to personally reveal himself to you.
Amen.
And the good news is that he has dwelled in your body.
Amen.
I mean, people got half the good news. They got half the news. You know they got the first part of Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
They don't have the rest of the story. They know that Jesus came and they know that he died for your sin.
Yeah.
But that's all they got. That's all they got. They didn't get the whole, they got good news. But there was more news to follow that.
Amen.
And the rest of the story didn't get exposed and opened up until after the opening of the seals.
Right. Amen.
The rest of the good news is not only did he resurrect,
yes,
not only did he ascend to heaven, not only did he come back on the day of Pentecost, yes, but he had been working for the whole 2,000 years, yes, building a body. And then the rest of the story is,
yeah,
that at the end of the building of the body, he come down himself and moved in her.
Amen.
That's the good news they don't want to hear. Because when you see me, you see the Father. They don't want to hear that. That's good news to the bride. Nobody else wants that news. Everybody else wants a partial story. They want to be told how Jesus came and died for their sin. They don't even know the reason he came and died. He only died for your sins because you were a part of him.
Amen.
The good news is we found out we're a part of God. The good news is that just like Jesus come from God and going to God, we come from God and we're going to God. So don't tell me half the story. Give me the whole story now. Tell me about really what he's doing, what the rest of the story is. And if you tell that story just right, you're going to include yourself. You have to. That's like the Godhead. We didn't even know the Godhead till he come here and told us himself how that really worked. Because we had the Godhead of some God up here somewhere and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But we didn't put the Godhead in us. We didn't realize that we were just as much a part of God as anybody else that he was ever dealing with. Because in order for you to have eternal life, you have to be a part of God. That's the good news. The good news is I've always been a part of God and he's always wanted me. And the good news is that he did all of this, not just part of it, Remember, Jesus came in the middle of the book.
Yeah.
There was a whole other half that the good news could cover that the church world has no clue about. All they can do with this Easter is talk about how he died on the cross, how he rose from the dead. If you don't bring him up to date and put him in you sitting in that bench, then you only have half the story. If you don't know, you only read part of the paper. You need to read the whole paper, because we know every part of it that belongs to God in there now.
Amen.
When I look around, I see God everywhere.
Amen.
People don't see God everywhere. They see God maybe in the Pope, maybe in some bishop, maybe in some high priest, and some church creed or dogma. But I see God everywhere. I see him in the trees. I see him in the breeze.
Amen.
I see him in the springtime.
Right.
I see him in a rainbow. I see him when the sun comes up. I see him when the storms are blowing and he's protecting me. I see God there. I see God everywhere. I see him in my home. I drive to work and see him in me. I can't help it. I know the rest of the story.
Amen.
I know the whole story now. Amen. And now to preach really what God's doing, you got to include us.
Amen.
Don't just leave me hanging on a cross.
Come on.
Don't leave me in a tomb. And don't have me just resurrect and rapture out of here and say, well, Jesus ascended. Well, that ain't the whole story. You got to tell the rest of the story. You tell us when he came back, what he built, what he's been doing for the last 2,000 years, what he's doing right now. Only the bride can believe and hear and understand the whole story. Only the bride. Everybody else has bits and pieces, and they're trying to figure this puzzle out, and they don't have all the pieces. You're trying to put the puzzle together. You got a 100-piece puzzle. You got 45 pieces of it, and trying to figure something out, trying to figure out how that's working. How's that working out for you? You can't see nothing. I got the rest of the pieces in my hand. The parts that you're missing. You say, well, I got part of the outside line done. Well, you only got 45 pieces. Who is it? Well, I don't know. What's a picture of? I don't know. See, we needed a prophet to come to bring us the rest of the picture. We needed another, what is it, 55 pieces? I don't know, to make it 100%. Huh? 54? I don't know, whatever the math is. Where's my Jeremiah? You got to have 100% of the puzzle. Can't have just part of it. You got to have 100%. I think that's 46. Booyah. Took me a minute. But you got to have 100%. And if you don't have 100%, you got a partial picture. And that's what the church world is dealing with. They don't know the good news. They don't know the whole story. They don't know what's going on. And they're telling you about Calvary. And Calvary's great. Thank God for it. We needed it. But what happened after Calvary? Well, Jesus came back for us. Yeah, and keep putting those pieces down.
Yeah.
You know, when you get them all in there together and you get all the pieces, it took a prophet to get all the pieces.
Amen.
It took a prophet. You couldn't even this hour be able to talk about good news the way it really is without a prophet.
Amen.
Are you telling a partial story?
Amen.
Thank God for a prophet.
Amen.
Thank God that we have all 100 pieces of the puzzle. And it's not only just pieces, it's been put together.
Amen.
And now we can clearly see what God has been doing for the last 6,000 years.
Amen.
We got the whole story. That's the rest of it, Jay. That's the bride. That's the hour that we're living in. We're sitting here with perfect understanding. What a mighty good, what a mighty group of people you are. To have what you have, to know what you know. Oh my goodness. Come on, musicians. Enjoyed that, Brother Jay.
Yes.
Now, don't forget. Don't go home and act like this is like every other week. We have services starting Saturday at 7.
Yes.
And then we have service on Sunday morning at 10. And then we have dinner immediately following Sunday morning service. So plan on coming and staying Sunday, and then we will not have Sunday night service. And plan on coming
and being a part of the service. Amen. Well, let's sing something and we're going to get out of here. I saw something, but then I moved on. How great is our God, the splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty. He's so great. To be able to come and really give us the real story, the real truth of the gospel, the full story. That's what we're sitting here with today. My goodness. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Won't you sing with me? How great is our God? And all will see how great, how great. Age to age, he stands. All time is in his hand. All time is in his hand. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Great is our God. How great is our God. Won't you sing with me? How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. He's a name above all names. Name above all names, oh, so worthy of our praise. Oh, my heart will sing, how great is our God. He's a name above all names. Oh, he is the name. Our God, how great is our God? Oh, how great is our God? Won't you sing with me? How great is our God? All will see how great, how great. Our God. Oh, how great is our God.
Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great.